Welcome to the show. Oh my goodness, another week has passed. Holy cow, we're at it again. If you missed last week, we had a wonderful guest, the founder of Gays Against Guns, joined us. We talked about the recent school shooting, and it was a really fascinating episode, and he had some great things to say. Jay Walker was his name, and but this week, holy cow, we've got a powerhouse guest representing the 2nd Congressional District, which is Madison, the home of civic media, as we are on civic media, home of civic media, Madison, the surrounding area, Congressman Mark Pocan. What's going on?
Not much, Mark.
No? you and I, I have to tell you, we have connections that I don't know if you know this, but my older brother, John Becker, knows you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I asked him, I said, if I drop your name to him, is he going to know? And he said, I don't know. He deals with so many people. But he worked with you while you were in the assembly, and John was doing LGBTQ advocacy for Fair Wisconsin when he got to know you. And then he sent me a text picture of you and him at the Israeli embassy during their pride celebration.
Yeah, because he's out this way, and I run into him occasionally, not too often, but, you know, generally I'm within a couple blocks of where I'm operating when I'm in D.C. So.
Yeah, very cool. And then your dear chief of staff went to Luxmore Casco.
Yeah.
And he was taught band by the greatest middle school band teacher that ever existed, which is my grandfather, Mr. Burr Joyce.
Oh, very cool.
Yes. Yes. And so we've known each other forever. So we'll go with that.
Clearly.
Yeah. So you represent the 2nd Congressional District, Madison and the surrounding area.
Yeah.
And I wanted to start kind of with this. I've heard the story of how you got into politics secondhand, and it's a powerful story. Would you share that with us?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not fair to say how I got into politics, because my dad was in city council and
campaigns
and all that. But I think how I got to, you know, kind of maybe running for office and doing more some out LGBT activism was, I was gay bashed leaving a bar. I called people the baseball bat, and I wasn't out. And at that point, I was kind of like, you know, this is not acceptable behavior for anyone to have to experience. And it really made me decide that it was important to be involved with LGBT activism more at that point. Because it just needed to be done, even though Wisconsin was the very first state in the country to have a gay and lesbian civil rights bill back in 1982.
No kidding.
And by the way, more legislation in 83 signed by a Republican governor, Lee Sherman Dreyfus, before this was all politicized. Wow. But, you know, it took 7 years after that 1982 legislation for the next state to do something, and that was Massachusetts. Jeez. But still, you know, having laws were one thing, but having the reality on the ground for people was another. And, you know, that certainly was something that made me become more of an activist, especially on the LGBT side.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, we've come a long way. We've got a long way to go yet. But I think it's, you know, with people like you, you know, fighting that fight for such a long time. And then talking with my brother, some of the history that I don't know of, you know, everything from Stonewall to today, you know, fighting the marriage equality fight and the equality fight in general has just been really remarkable. So yeah, that's awesome. So you ran for first, it was state assembly?
County board.
Oh, county board.
County board.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then
and there's this other person on the county board at the time. What was her name?
Sammy
Baldwin.
Yeah. Right? Hey, you've known her for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah. Going back over 3 decades, on county board, did local government, and then wound up running for the state legislature, since counties were kind of a product of the state, kind of organizationally.
Yep.
And then did 14 years in the legislature, including 6 years on the Joint Committee on Finance. I chaired that for 2 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, where you put your money is where you really put your values as a people, you know, so that was important. And then I wound up running for Congress, and now I'm on the Appropriations Committee doing some of the same sort of work, because, you know, where we invest tax dollars and prioritize people is what has the greatest impact on people's lives. And So three decades now in local, state, and federal government, and still going strong.
Yeah. So what are you focusing on right now in appropriations and all that? What do you got your claws in right now?
Well, you know, this Congress is so incredibly broken by the Republican majority, because, you know, 19 votes to find a speaker, just, you know, setting a national record, it tells you volumes.
It's been funny.
We only got 27 bills done last year, the fewest since the Depression.
What?
Right? So it shows it's been an incredibly unproductive Congress. Our fiscal year ends September 30th.
Yes.
But they've only passed about half the bills in the House, and they haven't done any negotiating with the Senate. So we have to kick the can, so to speak, to keep funding government, a continuing resolution.
Yep.
They tried to do that this week, and they did some stuff to appease the more extreme members of their caucus, but that still wasn't enough. So they had to drop that bill. So hopefully by September 30th, in the next 2 weeks we're out here, we will not shut down the government, because that's the alternative if you don't at least have a continuing resolution. So that's something we're watching real closely through appropriations, and quite honestly, all of Congress, because this is something we all will wind up voting on.
And it's really like, you're there, but from a 30,000 foot view, it really is like the Marjorie Taylor Greens and Lauren Boberts and Matt Gaetzes of the world that are making this so difficult.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, part of what they did when Kevin McCarthy became speaker, he'll go down in history as, pathetic, I think is the word I would use, because he was so desperate to become speaker with a 5-seat majority in a caucus that makes the Adam Fitz family look pretty normal.
Yeah.
Changed a bunch of rules to empower the craziest people in his caucus.
Yeah.
And he put a bunch of those people on committees that are kind of like the A committees where we have to get stuff done, like appropriations. So he broke the appropriations committee for the first time, even during Trump's presidency.
What do you mean by that? What is that? He broke the committee.
He put people on that don't believe that you have to pass appropriation bills, which is like the one thing we have to do, right? So we've been unable to function. And then the rules changes empower any one member can basically throw a ratchet into the entire operations. And because we're living with those rules for Kevin McCarthy to become speaker, and he still got kicked out,
which even is hilarious.
Giveaways, exactly. we just can't function right now. So that's why, you know, much of what we're looking at is, if we win the majority in November, we're only 4 seats down right now. We can get back to normal and function again, but this Congress has been historically bad.
So what rules did he change that empowered that made it so bad?
Sure. The main one, I think, is any one person can challenge the speaker, the vote, and they can have a vote on the floor. So if you even upset one person, they can then take a vote to the floor to make you not speaker, which is why we had 19 speaker votes to begin with, right?
Right.
And their caucus, there's a lot of backstabbing going on.
Yes.
And, you know, the speaker we have now is kind of, no one would have guessed a year ago that he ever would have been speaker, because, you know, they're kind of musical chairs game.
Who the hell was Mike Johnson, right?
right. So I can't wait till November. I want to hit the reset button. Maybe I'll hit the reset button with a spotted cow or something.
Yeah.
And then we'll hopefully get back to normal and functional.
And so when that happens, God willing, it happens in November, how does that change?
Sure. So when we would then be in the majority, we would appoint the majority of people on committees. So again, some of those people that were the problems on appropriations likely wouldn't have the seniority to stay on the Republican side.
That's great.
We would change the rules so that any one person can't stop the entire operation, and along with some other rules that were difficult, and just function hopefully like we used to. I mean, part of the problem is we also didn't used to have Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz and Lauren Boebert, but they will be marginalized with different rules. And they can huff and puff, but they can't blow the house down, at least. And that's what our goal is.
It's really horrible to see, you know, the things that they believe, from, you know, election denialism to conspiracy theories and all these things. And they have very powerful position. I mean, they shouldn't, but they have a lot of influence.
Well, not only do they have a lot of influence, largely because of the rules, again, that make it so they are as powerful as the speaker, really, in many ways, but they're the spokespeople for MAGA. You know, they're the ones who, Matt Gaetz was preparing Donald Trump for that amazing debate we had this week. I was just told by a Republican on the floor that's Matt Gaetz.
It was Matt Gaetz, really?
Yeah, that was his like debate prep.
Oh, that's delightful.
Exactly. Makes every bit of sense in the world.
It does.
But, you know, I think we are hopefully in a position in November to take the majority, and hopefully we can, you know, turn the ship back around like it needs to. But it's been a tough session.
What is that? How are the projections looking for November for Congress?
You know, fairly good. I mean, you know, we have a number of seats in Wisconsin. The third congressional district Ron Kind used to represent, Derek Van Orden currently does, the orneriest member of Congress.
Yes. Especially
a few beers, right?
Yes, you know, right.
Pages to yell at, and librarians and Department of Defense officials and Democrats and Republicans and media. And he's kind of the quintessential Homer Simpson, you know.
That's right. Right.
And except Homer Simpson sitting in melt.
Simpson. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, except sitting in melt.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
And so that is a seat that Becca Cook can definitely win. And I think it's going to be a competitive race. The first district, Brian Stile, you know, he's never really been challenged. And we have an excellent challenger, Peter Barca, who used to be the Democratic leader in the assembly,
awesome.
Was a member of Congress, was the Secretary of Revenue, was a small business administrator for the upper Midwest. I mean, he's got a resume that goes on and on.
Yeah, he's
and then
great.
In the 8th district, you know, in the Green Bay area, you know, Kristen Lyerly, an OBGYN, very, very strong candidate.
Dear friend of the show.
I'm sorry?
As a dear friend of the show.
Oh, yeah.
And, I know her well.
You know, she, think about it. You've got an OBGYN during the biggest, one of the biggest issues of the presidential campaign being, you know, reproductive freedom for women. And you got an OBGYN running against a guy who uses a dinosaur as the symbol for his business.
Yes.
Right? Like, what more do you
it's
need
great.
To
right.
explain the difference?
Yes. And well, and on all of his yard signs, it says Trump endorsed Tony Weed. So, for, you know, when he's referenced here, it's always Trump endorsed Tony Weed.
Yeah. I asked someone what it, because I didn't know who he was, because he's not exactly hit our radar screens. And I was up in Green Bay with Kristen doing a town hall on Project 2025. And I go, what's the guy's first name again? And people are like, Trump endorsed.
Yeah, that's basically it. Uh-huh. Yeah, no, it's really remarkable. And we got about 10 seconds left. Well, how many seats do we need to flip?
Four.
That's it.
We want more, so we're not sitting there with a small margin, but just four nationally.
So it is doable.
Absolutely.
All right. We've got Mark Pocan here on the show, Congressman, 2nd District, and we're going to continue the discussion with him right after this.